I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's...
50 years ago, Schoolhouse Rock premiered on American television.
It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
For the uninitiated, these were three-minute animated songs on Saturday morning in between the cartoons of, say, Wile E. Coyote or Yosemite Sam, at least in my house. And they taught a generation of us grammar, history, math, civics, as in how a bill becomes a law. Earlier this year, we talked about the phenomenon of Schoolhouse Rock, what went so right and what we can learn today, with Paul Ringel. He's history professor at High Point University in North Carolina. Paul, hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Scott.
Yeah, great to have you. So tell us the origin story. Schoolhouse Rock, I gather, started with a father, an advertising executive, concerned that his son was struggling with math.
Yeah, so David McCall was a big-time advertiser in New York, and his son was struggling with his math homework. And yet his son could sing every word of every Rolling Stones song at the time. And so he kind of picked up on this idea that maybe music was the way to go to try to teach him the math that he wasn't getting.
Well, let's take a listen to the first episode on multiplication. It's 3 is a magic number.
The past and the present and the future, faith and hope and charity, the heart and the brain and the body give you 3 as a magic number.
As we listen to this, tell us, what was the state of American television at the time that was a good moment for Schoolhouse Rock to come in?
Well, we're kind of in the heyday of Saturday morning children's television, and that doesn't really exist anymore, but it sounds like you had the same experience that I did.
Oh, boy.
Growing up, you know, getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning and the cartoons would be on till noon.
Yeah.
While the cartoons were thriving, there was also a kind of a backlash against them, against the violence of the cartoons, about the commercials that were running in between the cartoons. And there was a lot of pressure, especially coming from a grassroots organization called Action for Children's Television, about trying to include more educational content on Saturday mornings. And so for ABC, it was great, because this was exactly what they needed. There was a threat to have the FCC step in and start regulating Saturday morning television. So they used this as a way to try to jump in and regulate themselves before the federal government actually did anything.
The great thing about so many of these songs is they're a kick for the grown-ups too. And the original writer of the songs, the musician Bob Duro, talked about not oversimplifying for kids in a 1996 interview with Terry Gross on Fresh Air. And here he is talking about teaming up with famous musicians to make Conjunction Junction.
So I figured out it was sort of a railroad song, hooking up things like the railroad cars. And I made the song, and we went out to Hollywood to record it, and Dave Frischberg had just written his first song for America Rock. At the same time, I'm Just a Bill. So we had a super session in L.A. with Jack Sheldon singing those two songs and me conducting the band and Frischberg playing piano. And we had an all-star jazz band in Hollywood playing Conjunction Junction and I'm Just a Bill. Very exciting.
Conjunction Junction, what's your function?
Hooking up words and phrases and clauses.
Conjunction Junction, how's that function?
I got 3 favorite cars that get most of my job done.
Conjunction Junction, what's their function?
I got and, but, and, or, they'll get you pretty far. And, that's an additive, like this and that. But, that's sort of the opposite, not this, but that. And then there's or, O-R, when you have a choice like this or that. And but and or get you pretty far.
Conjunction Junction.
Well, my favorite part is the backup singers in that, and I did not know what a high-level musical production it was. As a historian, how do you think about the impact Schoolhouse Rock had on civic education?
Well, I think in some ways it's one of the most successful educational projects we've ever seen in the United States. It's just incalculable. Millions of people have learned everything from what a conjunction is to what the nervous system is to the preamble to the Constitution from these songs. And I just find myself hard-pressed to think of anything that's been a more successful educational project outside of schools.
So the third season of Schoolhouse Rock was in 1976, the year of the bicentennial celebrations, and a lot of these history songs came out in Schoolhouse Rock. And one of the episodes was called Elbow Room, about the concept of manifest destiny.
Right.
One thing you will discover when you get next to one another is everybody needs some elbow room, elbow room.
Now that, of course, was the elbow room from the perspective of the European colonists. What does that tell you about how Americans kind of talk to themselves about history in the 70s?
Well, I'm not sure how representative it is, actually, because the 70s is this moment, especially on college campuses, where you're getting this explosion of black studies and gender studies, and there's a real change in the way that history is being taught. But Schoolhouse Rock was not at all hooked up on that. These guys who were doing, and it was almost all guys who were doing the songs, were not historians. They were musicians that were using textbooks to learn their history. And the grammar and the math is terrific because that's really factual. Once we start getting into interpretation, it's even a little bit out of date for the 1970s. It sounds more like the way they were teaching history in the 1950s.
Oh, wow. And any other history song come to mind as you talk about it?
Yeah, Great American Melting Pot, about all the different immigrants coming in from France and Italy and Poland and even small places like Armenia. But when you look at Lady Liberty, she has her recipe book for the Great American Melting Pot, and Africa is listed as a country rather than as a continent. So we get Poland, Armenia, Africa. So yeah, there are some problems we really need to address and see if maybe we can do it better and in a new version.
Well, Schoolhouse Rock kept trying to come back over the years. About 5 years ago, there was a short-lived revival with new episodes on the planet and climate change.
We don't need thermometers to bring you this early warning so we can all fight global warming.
Global warming is caused by gases, mostly one called CO2.
It comes from that technology that makes life so good for you.
If you, Paul, could bring Schoolhouse Rock back, wave your magic wand, what would you tell?
Well, I would want to do Schoolhouse Rock as a historian. I would want to do two things. One, I'd want it to be more representative. I mean, there's no mention of race at all in the history episodes. And so I think we'd need to be more representative of the wide range of people who actually live in this country. And then the second thing I'd want to do is really teach kids more about how change actually happens. There's an episode on women's suffrage called Suffer Until Suffrage. And there's a line where they say they marched in lines and carried signs until the law was passed. They mean the 19th Amendment, which gave women the right to vote, but they kind of overlooked the idea that it took 70 years for women to get the right to vote. So change doesn't happen that quickly, and I'd love to be able to do episodes that showed kids, you know, here's the process of how change actually happens so that they can go out and make the change that they want to see in their own future.
Well, as we think about a song to go out on, I was asked by one of our producers what my favorite one is, you know, as a child of the 70s. I think it might be the Verb one.
When I hit, I need an object.
Verb, hit, hit the ball.
When I see the object.
Do you see that curtain ball?
If you can see it, then put the ball on the fence, man. Go ahead on. Yeah, all right.
What?
Be ready. It's going. Get my thing in action.
Burn, that's what's happening.
Ha, to work, burn, to play, burn, to live,
to love.
Okay.
Sorry, Shattered Glass Enterprises. But what is yours?
I think mine's Interjection. I love the part about the guy running the wrong way and scoring for the other team.
Your game was tied at 7-0 when Franklin found he had the ball. He made started shouting out interjections.
Ah, oh, you threw the wrong way.
Darn, you just lost the game.
Hooray, I'm for the other team.
That's the one that always stuck in my head. I had no idea what an interjection was, but I certainly know it now because of Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah. Hey, I'm from the other team.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, I remember that. We've been talking to Paul Ringle, history professor at High Point University in North Carolina, and we've been talking about 50 years of Schoolhouse Rock. Paul, thanks so much for the time.
Scott, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey! 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 They're generally set apart from a sentence by an exclamation point or by a comma when the feeling's not as strong. Interjections, show excitement or emotion. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Darn, that's the end.